Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. I'm James Coe, joined alongside by the crew. It's the man behind the glass, the man with the master plan, the whiz kid from Wisconsin. That's a long title for you.
Yeah, you keep adding sections to it week after week.
Alex Gellhard there. My guy Marcus Grant, MG, what's up?
What's going on?
And the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Fabiano.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. Had a good night last night.
Yeah?
Had a lot of Le'Veon Bell comebacks.
There you go. A lot of stock invested into Le'Veon Bell in that last touchdown at the very end
literally
of the game.
Last second.
That was a gutsy call by Todd Haley, man. If they didn't get in and the time ran out, I mean, that would have been the big story all day about how the Steelers shouldn't have done that. They should have kicked the field goal. Instead, Haley, Tomlin, our heroes.
Tomlin's great, man. Tomlin's great. He don't care.
I don't care. You don't kick the field goal with Vic playing as he did.
I would have
rode or die with that call as well.
Yeah, I think you go for the win on the road. You got a quarterback who's struggling. I like it.
Yeah, I was happy too because I was playing in a league against Antonio Brown and I had a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And without going into OT, I'm a winner.
You know what was great about it too was that so he calls the Wildcat. The Chargers then call a timeout, and I was like, oh, they're changing this play up, dude. There's no way. Once you show the Wildcat and then they adjust to it, you can't call it. He calls it again. He doesn't care.
Why not?
Stop me.
It felt like the end of like a basketball game.
Uh-huh.
When a team lines up, they're about to run their inbound play, and the other team calls a timeout.
Right, exactly.
So then you
exactly.
That's what it felt like.
And what, 9 times out of 10, they changed the play?
They changed the play, but not the Steelers.
No, not the Steelers. No, we're going to literally put the ball in the hands of our best player.
But which is what Matt Harmon preaches all the time on Twitter.
Just give it to your good players.
It was great, man. But yeah, let's talk about some takeaways for this Monday night. By the way, we've got some great content here, obviously, as we do every single week. We're going to get to our top headlines, talk about Jamal Charles. We're going to break down that backfield. Who should you pick up? We will be talking about Andrew Luck, Blake Bortles, Justin Forsett as well. And then we're going to be talking about we got to get negative sometimes on this podcast.
A little bit.
We're going to talk about guys we are giving up on. And then when you are giving up on them, who are you adding off the waiver wire? Of course, it's Tuesday. So, of course, we're going to get to as many of your waiver wire ads as possible. And then the Daily Daps, America's favorite portion of the podcast.
Clearly.
But let's talk about the Monday night football game. Let's get some reactions here. Obviously, Antonio Gates. Holy cow. Welcome back to the
world. Welcome back.
Loved it. Loved it. Anybody who drafted him and held on to him or was lucky enough to pick him up off the waiver wire, you got to feel like a genius right about now.
Because sure.
He came out, 2 touchdowns, led all tight ends in fantasy points, including beating out our boy Gary Barnage, who had another huge day.
More
points than Rob Gronkowski. So, hey, you know what?
He looks spry, too.
My man.
I agree.
I remember hearing in the offseason he had, like, a new workout or, like, health regimen. He's like, I feel great.
That's part of what landed him on.
Yeah, right. It was his health suspension. That was true, like, apparently, whatever. But he was like, I feel great. He's like, I can't wait to come back. Like, this is the best he's felt in a while. I mean, you hear this narrative all the time. You're like,
sure.
Oh, great. You feel awesome.
Especially
good.
From veterans.
Yeah, good. Aging player who's been in the NFL for like 12 years. But Gates looked great. He looked fast.
Awesome. So, and this also, I think, speaks to it seems like every couple of weeks we find a new tight end to latch on to and you know, try to think. But with that performance last night, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns, Antonio Gates is already the 20th ranked tight end in all of fantasy football.
Get out! Really?
With one game, he is number 20 among tight ends.
It's funny, too, because before last year, you guys will remember, he was fading.
Yeah,
he was.
He was really fading for a couple of years, and now the resurrection of Antonio Gates last year and into 2015.
I felt like last year was, you know, Phillip Rivers, I think, put a little bit less on his shoulders, tried to make more checkdowns. He kind of, I think, bought into that Mike McCoy system a little bit more. And I think Antonio Gates was the beneficiary of that because when you're checking down a little bit, not taking all these crazy seven-step drops, well, Gates is right there. And you know, they've got one of the best bromances in all of the National Football League. Let's talk about Danny Woodhead, though. He didn't get a ton of carries. It was interesting to me because they wanted to feature Melvin Gordon more, it seemed like.
Yes. They did. They made a concerted effort to do so.
And he had a good PPR night, but in standard leagues,
agreed.
He's given you fewer than 8 points again. Right.
I saw a good interesting stat, too, with Gordon, that he had only been targeted 7 times the entire year, and in, like, the third quarter, he had already been targeted 7 times in that game. So that was kind of an anomaly.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think that was from Graham Barfield. It's a good follow on Twitter, too. But, I mean, Woodhead proved again, like, even with limited touches, the guy's got a safe production floor. He's not going to be a weak winner. But on his, like, what did he have? Like, 4 or 5 touches? He had, like, 70-some yards?
5 catches. He had four carries. Ended up with 76 total yards. So.
And, again, as you mentioned, it's not a weak killer. If you're sticking Danny Woodhead in your flex, you love this guy as a flex, right? Because mm-hmm. he gives you a pretty safe floor. 6 or 7 points is a floor. This is in standard, by the way.
Yeah, in standard. PPR, he's a beast. And this was just one of those ones where he didn't get in the end zone. The offense, aside from those drives with Gates, struggled a lot. Their offensive line has some issues, so that's a concern. But hopefully now that Gates is back, Stevie Johnson can come back, that offense will get humming a little bit more with the weapons around Rivers.
All right, how about Keenan Allen, though? How do we grade his performance?
Listen, I mean, it wasn't a great night. In PPR, he gave you a double-digit fantasy point.
Sure.
But Allen's been so good this year overall. You forgive him for giving you one mediocre stat line. It's going to happen.
Although he did give you that one negative point week. Which was like, where did that come from? It's like, he got like 17 in week one, like a negative 0.5 in week two, another 17 in week three. I mean,
right now he's...
It's just baffling.
He's a point behind Odell Beckham Jr.'s fantasy production.
Look at that.
I will take that all day
long.
Yeah,
you will. Yeah, absolutely.
You're looking at a guy who's given you 13-plus in 3 of 5 games. That's consistent for a wide receiver you drafted where? 5th round?
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I think I look at Keenan Allen. I mean, I think his ceiling is as a wide receiver, too. I don't know that he's ever going to be anything more than that for your fantasy team. It's funny because he's the guy who, I won't say he took over for Vincent Jackson, but, you know, Vincent Jackson was that guy in San Diego
sure.
for a number of years who was always, you know, his totals at the end of the year looked great, and then you look at his week by week, and it was up and down.
Yeah.
And I feel like Keenan Allen is sort of the same thing. Like his numbers at the end of the year, I think, are going to look good.
I don't know, you think? I feel like Keenan Allen in this offense, because they do so much more short passing, that on a week-to-week basis, he is a little bit more concerned. I just argued against myself, of course.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, no, I'm with Marcus. Like, I was getting worried because Keenan Allen's been one of the hardest people to rank every
Absolutely.
Week.
Every
because
week.
He had his 166-yard, 15-catch game. Then, like you said, the negative game. Then he bounced back. Then he was like, okay. And he didn't have a target until, like, 30 seconds left in the first half or something. He wasn't even looked at
right,
in the offense. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a little bit volatile, but if you just roll with him every week, you'll probably be happy with the production at the end of the year.
All right, we got to get to the other side of the ball, man. What do we do with Antonio Brown?
You hold on to him and wait for Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, I get that.
I mean, that's the case.
Well, so I'll ask you this. I was just talking to Adam Rank, who obviously is one of the largest Antonio Brown supporters in the building. But he's at the point now where he feels like in a 10-team league, he's benching Antonio Brown until Ben Roethlisberger comes back because the production, the upside isn't there. And the volatility at the position, a position that you can manufacture decent production out of, is just not there. Is there something to that?
I mean, if I had options, if I had a decent bench, like if I had a John Brown that was sitting on my bench instead of Antonio Brown, I'd throw John Brown out there.
In a 10-team league?
In a 10-team league.
Not me.
I think it sounds crazy.
I'm not doing it.
Look at it this way. This is a guy that was on – all-time great streaks for consistency with yardage,
yes.
catches, or touchdowns in games, like 40-plus streaks that both got destroyed. In the two games Vic has been in there.
Destroyed.
This, Brown was historically bulletproof, and Vic just ripped off his Kevlar vest, basically. And now Antonio Brown's trying to dodge bullets.
Those kryptonite bullets. I don't know. I'm with Fabs on this one. I think he's too talented, and I think that they're going to find ways to get the football in his hands.
Right,
I mean, because you can't keep running the wildcat with Le'Veon Bell, especially when Le'Veon doesn't hand it off. I mean, when he drops back there, you know he's going to run the football.
Yeah.
So they've got to diversify.
Gave it to D'Angelo a couple times.
Yeah,
but I
can't do it.
Looking ahead, Brown's playing the Cardinals next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're telling me you're going to start him with Mike Vick under center.
And Patrick Peterson out
Patrick
there?
Peterson, Calais Campbell, the Honey Badger et al.
Uh-oh.
I got to tell you.
I'll take my chances.
I am doing it.
I think I take my chances.
I'm doing it.
No, thank you.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm torn. I'm torn. I could see both sides of the argument for sure, but
I tell you, beware. I mean, I would, you know, I would be nervous about it. I'm not, you know, I'm not rushing in here feeling all super confident about it, but
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, also, too, like,
too much upside. Is that what you're
thinking? You got four teams on a bye. How many people in a 10 or 12 team league actually have enough depth where they're going to be able to fill two wide receiver spots and a flex spot and say Antonio Brown's not good enough to be in any one of the three? And if you're in a league where people are freaking out and Antonio Brown is out there as a trade target, go get him now.
Go get him.
Because when Roethlisberger comes back, which
that,
could
right?
be
yeah.
this week, I don't know if it's going to be, but Roethlisberger could be yeah. this week. More likely.
Everything sounds like week 7.
Right.
In their
right.
following game.
Which, and they play Kansas City that week.
One. Hey, man.
Roethlisberger come
weather
back.
Weather the storm.
Brown against
weather
Kansas
the
City.
Storm. Weather the storm. That's what I would
I would say this. I don't think you're doing your job as a top flight fantasy manager if you're not at least testing the temperature in the room to see what you can get for Antonio Brown.
Heck
or,
yeah.
Or, you know, what you got to give up to go get Antonio Brown. At least test the temperature.
You're not trading. You're not trying, Co.
Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, let's get to our top headlines.
All right.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, here we go. I feel sad. Jamal Charles, torn ACL. It's his second torn ACL over the last 5 years. Am I correct in saying that? I think he tore his other knee.
In.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
2011.
Was it 2011? Yeah.
2011.
That was the infamous NFL.com puts Jamal Charles coming off of the field on a cart on their homepage promoting you
it's
can
not
still
too late
play
to start
fantasy
yeah.
football.
Oops.
Yeah.
That was on Deadspin. I remember that was all over.
That was a swing and a miss.
That was.
Oops. Okay.
Right.
That's.
I do remember that. But it was against Detroit, I believe.
All right, so it's Jamal Charles. He's got a torn ACL.
Very sad.
And you know, we wish him a speedy recovery because, you know, his loss is not just a loss for fantasy, man. It's a loss for football.
It is.
It's exciting 100%. Watching him play. Kansas City is not necessarily a, I don't know.
Electric offense.
Exciting.
Exactly. Exciting electric offense. Look, if they come up on my Sunday dial, I'm not necessarily saying, oh, my gosh, I have to absolutely watch KC, but I will say I absolutely do have to watch Jamal Charles. So
yeah.
the NFL is losing is a grade one star.
He's so good.
Jamal Charles
no
is great, man. But
and he's irreplaceable.
I agree. But here we are in fantasy. We always have to talk about who is going to replace the irreplaceable star. All right, so Jamal Charles goes down. It immediately becomes a debate of whether you should add
Charkandrick
West. Or Nile Davis. I'm torn on this. I know Charkandrick West is the next man up on the depth chart, but he's a smaller back. He's 5'9", about 205 pounds. He's got great speed. You know, he had his 40 tested. Small school, by the way, Abilene Christian, second year player. He had his 40 time. Done it as pro day.
Now I got to ask you a question, James.
Sure.
Go. Do you have every 40 time and weight and height memorized for every player?
No, only the players.
He does his research.
Only the players that I am considering adding because I like to look at a guy's profile and then see how he fits into an offense. And that's kind of the holistic approach to how I add all these guys, whether they're tight ends. Running backs, wide receivers. But, no, you're right. I do mention 40 times height, weight a lot because, well, heck, I mean, that's what regular GMs are doing, are they not? All right. So
and hand size and crazy stuff.
Look,
like
man,
that.
I could give you.
You're talking about the GMs that drafted Jamarcus Russell number one overall. I mean, come on.
I could give you his broad jump if you want, but I will not bore and his bench press. But I will not bore you with those numbers.
Do you know the square root of the size of his apartment?
Right.
I do not. But no. Okay. Let's break this down, man.
If he had a race,
yes,
with Chad Ochocinco and a Jaguar, who would win?
And the Jaguar.
Or the Jaguar.
Okay. Number one, and I think he would win number two, Charkandrick West, and then it would be Ochocinco. But no, so who do we add here? Charkandrick West, and you know, of course, we have to hear about the reports of Pierre Thomas working out for Kansas City. Why? Why must we hear the reports?
Well, they have to add someone. They have
Pierre
to add
Thomas.
Depth.
But no, Charcandrick West or Nile Davis, what say you, gentlemen? Alex Gilhar, we'll start with you.
I think it's West. West was getting more reps this year as the backup anyways. He was the first number called when Charles went down. He's been the more effective runner. Like, people like to remember Nile Davis's couple, like, splashy games filling in for Charles here and there. He's not that good of a running back. He's not that effective. Charcandrick West is the better one. And as far as your, like, height, size thing, Justin Forsett's 5'8", buck 95.
Agreed.
And he's a darn good running back.
Absolutely.
How big is Devonta Freeman? I mean, 5'8"? 5'9?
He's like 5'8", 5'9. 5'10 or something like that. I'll look him up quick.
Size doesn't matter in that case.
But
judge me by my size, do you?
That's right.
With West, I think he's the one. They're definitely – it's not going to be – not one of these backs is not going to come in and take all of Jamal Charles' touches. It's going to be somewhat of a committee, but I think West is going to get the lion's share pending them signing a free agent. And he's the one you should go after more aggressively on the waiver wire. But both should be picked up.
I don't think that either one will get, you know, 30 carries a game. I think that's fair to say. But if somebody gets 20 carries a game, which is, you know, I think what we've seen out of Andy Reid. Andy Reid's not one of these guys that rotates guys in every other series.
No.
He does like to feature a guy and then really go with the change of pace. I guess what I'm saying here with Charcandrick West and Nile Davis, we've seen Nile Davis produce. He, as you mentioned, he had a couple of very splashy games. He's a great north-south guy, not great east-west. I don't know how that all plays into this offense. But to me, at least when I look at the profiles, it seems as if Nile Davis might be your normal back, and then Charcandrick West would be your change of pace back. So I'm really torn. This is coming from a guy. I'm about to drop 90 fab dollars out of 100. To go pick
That's
up
a lot.
To go pick up Charcandrick West.
Wow,
I'm, you know why I'm going to do it? Because I have no running backs.
Is this the league we were talking about yesterday? Yeah. Oh my God, list off your running backs. This is. I wish I had like some sad music to play right now.
Wait, would this be a league where you didn't draft running backs early and now you are dead at the position?
Look.
Exactly.
This is the league.
This is exactly
where,
why you don't do it.
No, that's not true. I don't know.
Here's that. I know before I take us too off track. I don't know if that applies this year. When I was looking this morning at the list of top scoring running backs,
and
aren't a lot of guys that you drafted early that are in
the
list.
You drafted Jeremy Hill early. You drafted Justin Forsett early. Yeah, well, he's come back, so that's good. But you drafted C.J. Anderson early, LeSean McCoy early. There's busts at every position early in the round, and I hear that. Here's the thing. So my what is it? My running backs?
Yeah.
It's Shane Vereen, Chris Thompson, Tevin Coleman. I got another third down back.
Charles Sims.
Oh, Charles Sims are my four running backs that I'm rotating. Look, it's a PPR league, all right? It's a 14-team PPR league. All right, guys, calm down. I'm in second to last place in that league, all right? I had Dez Bryant.
Yeah, that hurts too.
That hurts. all right, so here we go. Like I said, we have limited moves in this one as well. You can only make 20 moves the entire season. I'm dropping $90 out of my fab budget to go pick up Charcandrick West.
By the way, in case you don't know at home, when he says fab budget, that's not something that we have orchestrated with Fabiano.
Oh, right.
Here.
It's not a Fabiano.
Because some people still don't play this, and
it's
I
true.
Feel like it's good to explain. It's the free agent acquisition budget. It is far and away the superior way to run your waiver wire.
100%.
Instead of having the waiver priority where the last place person always gets the top pick, everybody gets a set budget of fake dollars that they can spend on players on a given week. So if you need somebody, like in James's case, West, you have every chance to get him as long as you're willing to spend.
I have been hoarding my fab dollars waiting for a running back to emerge that I could just dump it all on.
But I don't know that Charcandrick West is that guy.
I know.
Now,
I know, pal.
It's funny because in my league of record, I drafted Jamal Charles. He was my first round pick.
Okay.
So obviously I went to the waiver wire on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
To try to put in a claim, only to find out someone already has Charcandrick West in my league. I have no idea who or how or when it happened.
Good for him.
But somebody already has Charcandrick West.
Good for him. All right, so I'll ask you, Marcus, who are you sticking with in this Charcandrick West, Nile Davis duo here?
Jeremy Maclin.
Jeremy
Maclin. I think he's the beneficiary of this. Right. I mean, I do think that between West and Davis, there's going to be enough of a split that neither one is going to be super productive. Maybe one of them catches fire on a particular week, but on a week-to-week basis, I don't know that I trust either of them.
West is the guy to go after, in my opinion. Davis should also be added kind of just in case. And Marcus is right. I've been telling people to trade Jeremy Maclin. I'm backing off of that now because without Jamal Charles in that offense, Maclin is clearly, God bless you, Maclin is clearly now the top weapon there. Maybe Travis Kelce is 1A, and he should see some more targets as well.
Sure.
But
that'd be fun.
You also have to figure this. Kansas City's not good right now. They're going to be playing from behind, especially now if they can't establish the run, if West can't get the job done, if Davis is struggling. That means a lot of targets for Maclin and a lot of targets for Travis Kelce.
All right. So, Charcandrick West, pretty much across the board.
That's the guy.
I'm the only guy here that's 50-50, huh? All right. That's fine. All right, let's go to Duval. Blake Bortles has grade 1 AC joint sprain in his shoulder. He injured it during the game, but he played through the injury. I didn't really see any drop-off in production, really, from Blake Bortles. The Jags offense, though, man, they got Julius Thomas back. He didn't make much of a splash in terms of fantasy production, but I felt like his presence there at least took some linebacker heat off of their wide receivers. And, man, it's the Allen brothers. It's the Allen brothers there in Duval. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns flying high. What do we make of this offense?
I mean, they're fun to watch. And I was actually watching – I went back and watched the game from Sunday. I was watching it yesterday. But the one thing that concerns me long-term about that offense is that they are very – they're very low percentage when it comes to their passing game. I mean, a lot of it is Blake Bortles standing back there and throwing the ball way down the field. I think I was looking – I think he is – in the top five when it comes to air yards per attempt. You know, people talk about Alex Smith and not throwing the ball far down the field.
But he's the anti-Alex Smith.
He kind of is in the sense that I think on average, he's throwing the ball almost 10 yards downfield on every throw. And a lot of it is him standing in the pocket, waiting for those guys to get open downfield. When they do, and they did a lot of that the last couple of weeks, it looks great. He's hitting guys downfield. He's making big plays. I think he leads the NFL in passes of over 20 yards. It's just kind of a low percentage.
He does. I put that on Twitter yesterday. He's had the most pass attempts that have gone at least 20 yards, air yards down the field,
right.
Not like screen that they take for 20 yards.
Right. So, I mean, and when it works, it's great. It's just low percentage, and you wonder when they face some really tough secondaries, you know, they are liable to get shut down.
All right. So what do we make of Blake Bortles here? Has he graduated up to, I don't know, a reliable fantasy quarterback?
I will tell you this. I'd rather have Blake Bortles than Peyton Manning or Drew Brees right now.
Yes. No, I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Peyton Manning's done, and Drew Brees, he's a matchup-based starter. I mean, especially when he's not playing at home.
I mean,
that's,
I think
that's
about it,
what
too.
He is right now.
Who's got the better weapons right now?
Right.
It's Bortles.
Yeah.
The Allen and Allen show and Julius Thomas coming back. Like, that's going to open things up a lot.
And I remember how happy I was when I got Drew Brees in the sixth round in a couple of leagues. And now I'm like, ho-hum. There's better guys off the waiver wire. Next year, I am not drafting a quarterback at all. I'm waiting until the waiver wire, and then I'm just going to load up on running backs.
Some people don't draft a kicker or defense.
That's what I'm doing.
Pick him up on the waiver fast.
I'm telling you.
No quarterbacks.
That's awesome.
Seriously, let's look at the list. Let's look at the list right now. I know it's 5 weeks, but it's still a pretty good sample size. Andy Dalton's number one. Nobody drafted him. He's still available in 25% of leagues on NFL.com.
I believed in the red rifle.
Right? Tyrod Taylor's fourth. Nobody drafted him. Carson Palmer's fifth. He was drafted late. Blake Bortles is sixth. He was drafted late, if not at all. Eli Manning is seventh. He wasn't drafted until the late rounds. I mean, Josh McCown is in the top 12. Seriously, this is what I mean.
Josh McCown, he got knocked out of one game and he missed another game.
The guy's
he's in the top
12. Russell Wilson.
You know, he's been balling lately too. That's a guy I actually want to go back. I said this to myself this morning and I just shake myself. I'm like, I want to watch some Josh McCown tape. I just want to see what this guy's been doing for the last 3 weeks. I mean, he dropped 457,
you know,
on the Ravens.
It's a CB thing, and you know what I mean by CB?
No.
He's got to be playing on a team that the initials are CB, and then he's really good.
Chicago Bears, Cleveland Browns.
He was really good, and then, you know, he goes to Tampa, and he stinks. Now he's with the Cleveland Browns, CB. It's all about CB.
That means he's out of options.
Josh McCown.
This is it. Yeah, I mean,
that is the dumbest piece of analysis ever here on a fantasy show, but I think it's fun.
He's on the last stop on the CB train
right
now.
Exactly. He's out of options now.
Bro, he's done.
Bro, you got to save that for our Marcos and Miguel.
Yeah.
When are we doing that?
It's coming soon.
It's in the works.
And I was going to say, I haven't even talked about it with the gang here, but I was like, you know what? We got to do this for the podcast every couple of weeks here. So you know what? Next week, pal.
Doing Marcos and Miguel?
We're doing Marcos.
We have to But we're only on audio here, so
right. So no, we don't have to worry about
now. Are we doing accents or is that racist?
No,
we'll have to discuss that in committee.
Yeah, we're going
we'll
to
take, we'll take that offline.
We'll discuss that.
Yeah, right. I'm thinking. That yeah, that, I don't know if that's a good idea.
That's a fantastic Marcos and Miguel.
But yeah, with Bortles, he should be rostered in like all leagues now.
Yeah,
because another thing with them is the Jaguars are still a work in progress. Excuse me. And they're going to be playing from behind a lot. He's a top 10 quarterback right now, or top 6 or whatever, because of the volume of pass attempts he's been making. And that does not figure to change anytime soon.
The only worry I have, and this is what we saw last year. I mean, granted, he was a rookie last year. But the turnovers, man. The turnovers. I mean, especially because not just the interceptions, but the fumbles, too. I mean, to throw it downfield that far, that often, you got to take a lot of deep.
Here's
drops.
The thing,
and
though.
It's got to sit back there for a while.
It hasn't killed him. He's only got 4 turnovers on the year.
Right.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm worried about moving forward is will the turnovers start to then catch up? Because, listen, we know defenses in the NFL, very sophisticated, and they're going to start figuring this out a little bit. I wonder if they start dropping back into zone or if they bring in a lot of blitz pressure. Can he handle that?
Let's take a look at his schedule, too. Okay, turnovers aside, right? Because he's still a second-year quarterback, so that's something to worry about.
Sure.
But you got Houston this week, you're starting him.
Yep.
You got Buffalo the following week. If you look at the numbers, you're starting him.
It's not a bad matchup, actually.
Then you're at New York playing the Jets, you're sitting him. Then you're in Baltimore, you're starting him there. Their pass defense is trash. Then Tennessee's defense is good. I mean, their defense has really been tough, so I don't know if he's a must-start there. He's got San Diego as well. In the fantasy playoffs, he's playing the Colts.
Start.
Atlanta.
Start.
New Orleans.
Start.
I mean, I would say the upside for Blake Bortles, honestly, is getting Julius Thomas healthy and getting him back in that offense. Because while you've got Hearns and Robinson going down the field, you've got that tight end who can be underneath. We even see T.J. Yeldon come out. He caught a touchdown pass kind of on a scramble drill on Sunday. But he's another guy who has the opportunity to kind of help out and be an outlet in case things break down. I do like the fact that he has been sacked less this year. I mean, he's been sacked 14 times through 5 games. It ain't great.
Still a lot.
It ain't great. But last year, he led the world in sacks.
Yeah,
so, you know, the fact that he's, you know, at least getting the ball out or at least not taking hits as much, that's encouraging.
All right, so there you go. Oh, by the way, T.J. Yeldon also suffered a minor groin injury. He called it minor. He's day-to-day, I guess. We're not exactly sure. But he called it minor, and he's expecting to play on Sunday. So there you go. Andrew Luck is back practicing in full. Poor Josh Johnson has been added and dropped. I mean, the Colts are treating Josh Johnson like a waiver wire ad here,
basically.
You know, we're going to add him, we're going to drop him, we're going to add him, we're going to drop him. But poor Josh Johnson has been dropped for the second time in less than 2 weeks. But Andrew Luck back practicing in full. What do we make of this news, gentlemen?
It's good news, and I'm playing him.
I don't know. You know, I'm not that, as an Andrew Luck owner, I'm not that confident in Andrew Luck coming back and playing well. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means good things for T.Y. Hilton. I think that's what it means. Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton have a certain chemistry going
on. I'm sure T.Y. is very happy.
Sure, absolutely.
About that.
And I think even someone like Dante Moncrief is going to really see some extra burn as well, because as we know, Andrew Luck likes to go deep. He likes to take deep drops into the pocket, and he likes to hurl it down there. And T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief absolutely excel at that, so I think those guys will be happy. Any other news or notes there in Indianapolis?
No.
All right. Matt Jones in Washington has a big toe sprain. He's listed as day-to-day. Don't know the severity of the injury, but I do know this. Running back, any skill position player, but especially at running back, having a messed up toe is a supreme hindrance. He led the backfield in carries last week, but I'm wondering if – because he's a rookie and all that, and they want to protect their investment, I'm wondering if Alfred Morris might not see some extra carries this coming up week.
Well, I mean, they're playing the Jets, though, so I don't even know if it matters. I'm not playing any of those guys right now, but it would be nice. We don't wish injuries on anyone. We never want anyone to go down with an injury, but that backfield, if it becomes Morris's one way or another again, I mean, that's the best-case scenario for fantasy owners, right?
It's a best-case scenario for fantasy owners. So they play the Jets here in week six. Mm-hmm. And I was asking you in the Fantasy Fortress whether I should drop Chris Thompson or not. But then I saw news of Matt Jones, and I immediately canceled that drop request. I'm thinking in this scenario where they're so difficult up front, I think the Jets getting Sheldon Richardson
back. They are
back
getting Sheldon
well.
Richardson back.
Yes, they
back.
Are.
Which is, oh, God.
Scary.
That's scary. But could this be a situation where they're playing from behind, they need to throw the ball more in the fourth quarter? Cause could Chris
and
Thompson,
they could use Chris Thompson a lot to slow down the pass rush,
there you
too.
Go.
Because Kirk Cousins might be running for his life back there, and then it's just a lot of those dink and dunks, like, I'm going to jump past this over
right.
Shelton Richardson, and you go do work, Chris Thompson.
I'll tell you what, I don't feel bad about playing Chris Thompson in PPR this week.
Well,
I don't feel bad about
it. He didn't really give you – I mean, he had, what, six catches? I think seven catches last week. He didn't have a ton of yards, but they put him out there, and they were targeting him. It just didn't quite work out in terms of overall numbers the way we would have hoped against Atlanta. But Chris Thompson is still a part of this offense.
100%.
You know, I do think maybe you see Alfred Morris get more carries because I don't know that they trust Thompson, you know, as a straight running back.
Right.
So as long as Matt Jones is dinged up, then I think Alfred Morris does benefit from that a little bit.
I will say this in regards to Chris Thompson. He's been we talk about Danny Woodhead having a pretty safe floor for a flex player in PPR. In PPR, Chris Thompson's been double digits in almost every single game.
Yeah, he's getting up there because they deploy him a lot, and it's a team that also is, when they need to move the ball quickly or is playing from behind, they'll roll with Chris Thompson.
And it looks like Kirk Cousins as well is more than happy to dink and dunk his way downfield. All right, we go to Baltimore. Justin Forsett has an ankle sprain. He got rolled up on late in that game. I think he had amassed about 170 yards and a touchdown at that point. He was, running well. So the last 2 weeks, Justin Forsett has been playing very, very high level.
Back to averaging over 5 yards a carry the last two weeks.
So an ankle sprain for him, which is terrible news. It's not of the high ankle sprain
so that's
variety.
Very good news.
Very good news. He's going to be a limited participant in practice all week. I'm not sure of his status coming into week six. I wouldn't be surprised if he sits out. The ankle injury he sustained, it didn't look too good. So I'm a little bit worried about him.
He did walk off under his own power and then wasn't limping into the locker room. So I guess it's just going to be a question of it'll be something.
Him.
Yeah, it'll be something to watch how he progresses throughout the week in practice and stuff. But
if he doesn't go, Lorenzo Taliaferro or Buck Allen?
Buck Allen. Taliaferro's got a foot injury, too. He was inactive last week.
Yeah, I mean, Buck is the guy. I watched that game, and aside from one big run Buck had, I think it was like a 44, 45-yard run, something like that, he didn't really offer much. I mean, he really kind of struggled, but as long as he's the one really healthy guy, he's going to be the guy to get the
good news is that when John Harbaugh had his presser on Monday, he said there is a, quote, good chance
Forsett will go.
That Forsett's going to play, so this is probably much ado about nothing, but it doesn't hurt if you have Forsett to add Buck Allen.
The upside is they're playing the 49ers this week.
Hello.
So
that's Marcus's
good.
Squad.
They stink.
They're not as bad at home, though.
They stink out loud.
They're not as bad as at home, but they do stink.
Stink out loud.
Oh, boy. All right, let's talk about guys we're giving up on. This is the negative portion of the show. If you don't want to be negative, that's fine. Go ahead.
Fast forward. Leave. You got daps and waiver wires.
Oh, that's true. Fast forward. No, but we're about to get negative here. All right, let's talk about Peyton Manning. Are we giving up on Peyton Manning?
Yep.
I am.
Peyton Manning is no longer a quarterback that you can leave in your starting lineup and not think about it.
By the way, so Peyton Manning.
Same thing with Drew Brees.
Is one of four starting quarterbacks who have played all games. To have more interceptions than touchdowns. 7 interceptions and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, you know what's odd is that the Broncos have the best fantasy defense, but playing the Broncos offense is now a good matchup for opposing defenses because Peyton's throwing picks all day long.
That's crazy.
By the way, shout out to Charles Woodson, who
finally
got to.
He got him.
And I know,
he got him.
I know Peyton had a little jab for him afterwards, but you know what? To heck with that. Shout out to Charles Woodson.
And that second pick he had was
fantastic.
Sick.
Oh, fantastic. That was so sick.
Vintage Chuck Woodson.
That dude's like the Frank Gore of defensive backs.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And even more so.
Because
he's 39.
That's actually what I tweeted after he made his second interception. I'm like, man, Charles Woodson and Frank Gore are going to have some great stories to share when they're the last two people alive.
All right, so Peyton Manning, we're giving up on Peyton Manning. But the question is,
there are a bunch of quarterbacks that have played fewer games than Peyton Manning and have more fantasy points than him. Jay Cutler, who was injured for 2 games, is all of 0.84 fantasy points behind Peyton Manning.
Jay, I mean, you're looking at Cutler.
Jay Cutler is list, 0.84 points behind him, and he only played in three games.
Jameis has 15 more points, and Jameis is a turnover machine.
Colin Kaepernick. I mean, Alex Smith, the list goes on and on.
Wait. Colin strange. Kaepernick has more fantasy points than Peyton.
Significantly
oh, yeah.
more fantasy yep. points.
Holy cow.
Well, remember, he had that ridiculous garbage time game against Pittsburgh where he had like 30 points.
Garbage points are still points.
So.
All right, so let me ask you this. Are we straight dropping Peyton Manning?
Can't drop him, but I think we were all on board last week, and you know, if I'm wrong, please correct me, that against the Raiders.
This was supposed it was supposed
we
to happen.
Starting him.
That
this
was
supposed to
and
happen.
Now he's playing the Browns. That and was, it's another yeah. great matchup and I don't trust him.
Don't trust him.
That was supposed to be the one. That was the only time I've played him in DFS this year too. I was like this is going to be great playing the Raiders. Did nothing. So now he's on my dunzo list.
Yeah. If you've watched Peyton play too.
It's not good.
It's really bad. It's
I thought the telling part. I don't remember. I mean, this might have been the third quarter, but Peyton makes a pass. And a flag comes out for what looked like illegal contact. And the announcers and the Raiders all were making the signal, no, the pass was tipped, no, the pass was tipped. But on replay, you looked, the ball wasn't tipped. That's just how it looks coming out of his hands now.
Yeah, like when I have a catch with my girlfriend's 5-year-old son, it kind of flutters.
Okay.
That's kind of what Peyton's passes look like these days.
Which is sad. We will say Peyton's been one of my favorite players to watch forever.
Hunter, dude,
an amazing
he's arguably player. The greatest fantasy quarterback of all time.
However, I'm kind of Belichick in this one. I would cut him. If I don't own him in any leagues because I was afraid of this, so I have 0% share of Peyton Manning, but if I did, I'd cut him.
In week four, this is what I was watching. He had a lot of flutter balls, a lot of ducks coming out of his hand, but he was throwing to the guy who had single coverage. That's it. It was either Manny Sanders or Demaryius Thomas, whoever had single coverage, he just threw it over there and said, go get it.
Yeah, which has been hurting them. Demaryius Thomas, outstanding fantasy player for the last several years, of the top 30 fantasy scoring wide receivers, has the lowest fantasy point per target. It's less than a point. It's like 0.74.
Yeah, I'm really worried about Demaryius Thomas right now.
Peyton's really this is potentially what you're going to see from Demaryius after Peyton retires. Right when Brock Osweiler comes in, you're looking at a guy right now who's not even in the top 20 among wide receivers, and he was the second or third overall wide receiver picked in drafts.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to Detroit. Matt Stafford was benched. Benched. I forgot to mention the Peyton Manning story. Gary Kubiak says there's no controversy there.
Right.
Don't know about
because his other quarterback is Brock Osweiler.
Hey, the mighty Pac-12 takes offense.
I'm all about all right, Sparky, but
that's enough Brock Osweiler talk on the podcast. Let's
Speaking of a quote unquote no quarterback controversy, there's apparently no quarterback controversy in Detroit.
Again, Dan Orlovsky.
Dan Orlovsky was the more effective quarterback somehow. Matt Stafford was benched in the third quarter. He has looked absolutely awful. I've been telling people to drop Matt Stafford for a while now. He's still rostered in a bunch of leagues, man.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely a drop. I don't even know why he's on roster.
What I think happens is that people just attach themselves to names, and that's happened with Peyton. It's happened with Breeze, although to a lesser degree, Breeze hasn't been nearly as terrible as Peyton has this year.
No, not at all.
People don't look at production a lot of times. They look at name value, and they look at those names and keep those players on their rosters.
I think
that the cliff for Stafford is here because I'd rather have Bortles. There are a laundry list of quarterbacks I'd rather have.
Nick Foles has outscored Matthew Stafford this year.
Stafford makes start him and sit him at quarterback easy for me because I can throw him in there at some point every single week.
As I mentioned before, Matt Stafford is the Johnny Depp of football. Studios keep getting Johnny Depp and expecting great production out of Johnny Depp. They're not getting it.
It's not a bad analogy.
So there you go. So Matt Stafford, so he's a bench. We've been not only a bench, he's a drop, guys.
He's a drop.
If you have Matt Stafford, drop him. He's not worth it with all the other quarterbacks that are out there on the waiver wire. But forget about Matt Stafford for a second. How about Calvin Johnson? What does this do for his value? Because honestly,
all right, dude,
he's getting open.
I'm going to throw it out there right now. He's going to have a big game this week against Chicago. He has scored a touchdown, I think, in all but one game that he's played against the Bears in Detroit in his career. He will have a big game this week. Then trade him.
Then trade him. Okay.
Then trade him. I can't bench him. I mean, I'm falling into the trap of, you know, it's a big name,
yeah.
But wide receiver is not nearly as deep as quarterback. When you're looking at guys like Blake Bortles who are in the top five and he's still on the friggin' waiver wire,
yeah.
You don't have that at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So you have to go out and stick with your guns. And I said this about Jimmy Graham too. Big game, trade him. Calvin Johnson, big game, trade him. That's the strategy.
I mean, I was on the trade him boat last week, hoping that, you know, you could get somebody to take him based on name value alone. And I'm, you know, I haven't really moved off of that. I mean, the Lions offense is a disaster. I mean, it is just,
you know, how many wide receivers right have more fantasy points than Calvin Johnson right now? I mean,
a lot.
We're looking at more than 30, including Willie Sneed.
Yeah.
And
Ted Ginn. And Doug Baldwin and Leonard
Brandon
Hankerson.
Cooks. Oh, God.
He finally had a big game.
All right. So the offense is a mess. Very quickly, Wiz, I'd love to get your take on Calvin Johnson. What do you do with him?
You got to trade him if you can or keep him. I don't know. It's tough. Like with him and Amir, like I very passionately defended Amir last week because
exactly.
He and Calvin are such talented players. But, like, man, this offense is bad.
All right, so look, Joik Bell probably a drop at
get him
this
out.
Point. Amir Abdullah, though, is he a drop?
No,
not yet.
No. Not yet. I mean, he's so talented. I mean, you watch him with the ball in his hands, and he's so electric. He just has to keep the ball in his hands and not on the ground.
He's at a position where you can't drop him. But I tell you what, if he was sounds weird. It's a weird analogy, but if he was a wide receiver. You would drop him in a heart.
Do not be afraid to play Theo Riddick in PPR.
Yes,
leagues,
I was just going to say.
Chronicles of Riddick.
There it is.
Theo Riddick.
There it is.
As a running back, I think has 2 carries on the year and is the RB13 in PPR.
But he's got like 11 D catches.
That's the most insane stat.
He has more points than DeMarco Murray, Frank Gore, TJ Yeldon. We're talking about PPR leagues.
But 2 carries.
I know. He's got 10 yards rushing.
And he's the RB13.
The reason I will make a case, and I was saying last week, I know we were doing a little back and forth, Gelhar, about Amir. I just don't know if he's rosterable. The offense is just so bad, especially if you don't get special teams touchdowns. I just don't know what value he has because the Chronicles of Riddick, taking all of his third down work, all of the pass attempts, he's soaking up targets, man. We're talking about Riddick. And then Zach Zenner is being mixed in.
Zach Zenner got a lot of work on Sunday.
He's being mixed in as well. You figure in Amir Abdullah also with a 2-fumble game as well. I just don't know if the coaching staff is going to trust him. And the offense is so bad that the ceiling for Amir Abdullah is so low.
I don't think the ceiling's low. It's coming down, but he's just a stash right now. You're not going to play him until we see more.
Right.
But his talent is there, and if the offense figures anything out or there's a change of the guard, like, I mean, the Lions are 0-5 right now. Something could change on that offense.
That's
point. It's like the case with the Dolphins right now. We were so high on them in the offseason.
Yeah.
Disaster starting out, but you can't jump ship on those guys yet because a coaching staff change could totally turn things around.
Good point.
So whether it's that or whether it's just they realize how talented he is and they're like, hey, we got to win some games. Let's just feed Amir and Calvin. You can't drop him yet.
Talented rookie that I am saying that you do need to drop those, Tyler Lockett. It pains my heart because he's a very good player. They just not enough targets in that offense for him. Tyler Lockett, if you've got him, he's a drop at this point. All right, we move on. How about C.J. Anderson? Are we giving up on C.J. Anderson?
Yep.
He's done.
Done.
Well, as
done.
A starter, I'm not dropping him, but, I mean, you can't play him.
You can't even trade him.
And, I mean, and again, another situation where you've got a player drafted highly who's been lousy, has a great matchup this week, and you can't trust him.
Alfred Morris. Giving up on him?
Well,
no.
I haven't played him in weeks, but I'm not cutting
him. I gave up on that backfield a long time ago.
You know, oddly enough, for some reason, Alfred Morris, I just can't quit you.
I can't quit you, Alfred.
You know, I think especially after I was talking about Matt Jones being 100% healthy and Chris Thompson being basically a pass-catching running back. Like, I don't know. I know it doesn't make sense, but I'm not giving up.
I like it.
That's where I am with Jonathan Stewart. We jumped over him real quick. He might actually be one of the first like every down backs that will be droppable shortly. Like, ooh. I don't know what it is. Like, maybe this week he comes back, but the offense just has been Cam has like as many rushing attempts as he does.
Right.
And like,
well, he's been hurt, Jonathan Stewart. I think he's been
a little bit.
He's been dinged up, and I wouldn't be surprised. Just watching him run, he looks really stiff. I wouldn't be surprised if he's dealing with some injuries that we don't know about. Okay, well, let me ask you then, Wiz. If not Jonathan Stewart, there's got to be a running back in that backfield that you like.
No, there's not.
Okay. There's no upside.
I mean, his name is Cam Newton. Oh. That's the running back I like in that offense.
So jumping ahead a little bit here, I see Roddy White next on the list.
Yep.
But there's reports coming out that Julio Jones might not play this week.
Really?
Yeah.
And that is a... That's a huge loss if that happens, because Atlanta's playing on a short week on Thursday Night Football on our air on NFL Network. So Roddy White might not be somebody you want to drop right now. Because if Julio can't play, of course, everyone's going to say, well, Leonard Hankerson's got to be the guy.
But somebody else has got to get targets.
Someone else has got to get targets. New Orleans defense is not good.
Nope.
And
his name is Nick Williams. Nick Williams had 4 targets last week.
Okay.
He was a preseason superstar. He's in the deep dive. NFL.com/deepdive.
Jacob Tammy.
And Tammy. Jacob Tammy had,
he had a lot of targets last week. So
much to my chagrin.
If you have Julio Jones on your team, be aware that you may have to find an alternative this week. And so I'm going to throw this out to you.
Please.
If you could get DeAndre Hopkins straight up for Julio Jones right now, would you do it?
Because
Julio Jones, he always gets nicked up, and, you know, I hear hamstring, and it freaks me out. It freaks me out. I'm freaked out.
Oh,
okay?
Man, I don't know, man. I still don't know that I pull the trigger on that.
I don't know that I wouldn't do it.
I hear you. I don't know that I... Man,
that's tough. That's
tough.
Can I think on this?
That's
get back
the question.
To you?
That's the question.
Can
of the
I consult
podcast.
The fantasy gods? And, like,
I don't know that.
Spend some time in prayer.
I have Julio in one of my leagues. I can't remember which one. And you know what?
If you're the Hopkins owner, you would do it in a heartbeat.
I don't
know if I'd do it in a heartbeat. I love DeAndre Hopkins.
I know. Look, nobody likes Nuke more than me. But if I got offered Julio Jones, I got to take that deal.
I
got to take that deal.
Listen, Julio is awesome, but. Man, every week it's like he doesn't practice, and then you know, he gets a ton of work, and now the hamstring is a little bit of an issue. And
well, it's 2 weeks in a row, by the way.
It's
2 weeks in a row.
Now
that
he may
he
not,
not
play, so it's like, okay.
I mean, the first you know 3 weeks of the season, obviously he was you know fantasy god status, but the last 2 weeks he's not really produced too
That's
much.
It.
Well, and also,
so...
the 2 weeks ago, that game was a boat race.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
before you even sat down yeah. with snacks to
I
watch
know,
it was like
I
21-0.
All right, you want to? This is what I'm going to do, guys.
All right,
Jerry O'Connell, who may or may not be in studio with this week, I'm not sure.
All right,
he has
Hopkins, and you're going to try and give him
Eddie. He has Eddie Lacy, and he has Hopkins.
Okay,
I'm going to offer him Julio and T.J. Yeldon.
For the other two?
For Hopkins and Lacy, what do you think?
That's interesting. I don't think he should take it.
I don't think he should take it either. I wouldn't take that.
All right, we got to speed
up
here.
I'm throwing it out
there.
Throw
it out there.
I'm going crazy.
See what's happening. All right, so let's go waiver wire ads.
Real quick off the top before we start, you can read all of these at NFL.com/waiverwire, NFL.com/deepdive.
There you go.
Harmon also does a streaming defenses piece that you can find on NFL.com/fantasy. All of your waiver wire needs are covered there, but we should hit a couple of these guys on the podcast.
Yeah, Alex is doing a great job, by the way, as the waiver wire guy this year, so kudos to you.
I feel bad for him on Sundays.
It's a lot. Sunday to Monday, man. It's a lot.
You want to try my schedule?
He is.
Try my schedule, but
hey,
our guys kick ass, man. They're working their butts off. And
there you go.
That's why we have great content.
There you go. NFL.com/waiverwire, NFL.com/deepdive. The deep dive read, too, is so interesting. It's so many names that you're just like, who are these dudes? And then there they are.
Then 3 weeks later, they pop up on the actual waiver wire.
Right.
That's where Leonard Hankerson was for weeks, and then bam.
I love it. All right. Waiver wire ads, notable waiver wire ads, of course, on this Tuesday. Let's get to the first one. How about Willie Snead?
The best wide receiver on the Saints. Go get him.
That is crazy.
I feel a need.
That is
the
crazy.
Need for Snead.
I mean, you got to get him. You got to pick him up. But Atlanta's defense is really good against the pass.
Yeah, this is actually kind of crazy, though, because most of these dudes are danger zone guys. Willie Snead on the danger zone. Gary Barnage on the danger zone. Alan Hearns, danger zone. Kamar Aiken, danger zone. Antonio Andrews, danger zone. I haven't got to Stephon. How dare you take my Stephon Diggs Thunder?
I've been on him since 2 weeks ago.
I was going to go Stephon Diggs on the danger
That's
zone.
That's all right.
This week.
Deep dive and danger zone are kind of going hand
I feel
in hand,
like they are...
skipping through the poppy fields with great fantasy success.
All right, so Willie Snead, certainly a guy. He's leading the team in. I don't know if he's leading the team in targets, but definitely yards.
Not targets, yards, efficiency. 100%. all that stuff.
Willie Snead, a great ad. Go pick him up. Gary Barnage, we've seen the barnyard dog.
Gary,
he's legit.
Do his thing.
He's legit now.
He's legit now.
Okay, but
what is going
again,
on?
Again, fantasy gods. This week, bad matchup on paper against Denver. Do you start him?
I still start him.
There's not enough I hope over him that I would start.
I hope that the hype hasn't built to the point where he can't meet his expectations.
All right, let me ask you this very quickly. Gary Barnage or Julius Thomas, who do you go with?
Barnage.
Who are the Jags playing next week?
They're playing Houston.
Oh, probably Barnage, though. I want to see Thomas come back a little more before I start deploying him.
This is insane. Okay, keep going. Barnage or Julius Thomas?
I might go Barnage.
Oh, the barnyard
just
dog.
I mean, just
it's
watch,
a sweep.
Just by
here
watching
the fantasy podcast.
Just by watching that offense, I mean, they are legitimately targeting him.
Well, his last three big weeks have all been with McCown under center,
right,
too. McCown,
right,
running the more traditional offense, likes targeting his tight end, and he's been feeding the barnyard dog.
Look, all I know is after he made that catch this weekend with his
– the Thighmaster catch.
Right? When does he get his NFL Network special? When do we get Chasing Barnage?
Let's talk to the higher-ups.
When do we get a football life,
a
Gary
football
Barnage?
Life. Barnyard dog.
Gary may or may not be on NFL Fantasy Live at some point in the next week or two, so I will make sure to ask him that question.
Yeah. Well, no one's been hyping this dude more than NFL Fantasy
Live. He needs to get a football life.
Come on.
Other two to mention quick before we jump to Daps, because we'll have to get out of here soon. Marcus Wilson for the Bears, like the Alshon Jeffrey, God only knows what's wrong with his injuries. Eddie Royals injured.
What do you do with that guy?
Eddie Royal is injured. Wilson caught a touchdown. He's had, I think, like over 80 yards the last 2 weeks with Cutler coming back. He's a great pickup in that offense.
Akbar, kind of super high.
He's a deep sleeper last year. I had to pick him up and start him in a league last week, and thrilled for his like 15 points that he gave me.
I love it. Andrews is a no-name guy, but he has slowly emerged here in the Tennessee backfield.
Slowly is the right word because they continue to split. The touches, I think, this past week were 11-10-10 between Sankey, McCluster, and Andrews.
And don't forget, too, I mean, David Cobb is going to be back at some point.
Shh.
Oh no!
Oh no!
I'm waiting. Because I got made fun of a lot from everybody for how high I was on Cobb, and then he got injured and stuff. So I've just been quietly waiting, watching this backfield.
Oh, I've got him stashed on
squandering.
Him.
I'm like, come on!
Another player in a situation like that. Pick up Brandon LaFell right now. He's eligible to come back next week.
Ooh,
we don't know how healthy he is, but it's not a bad one to point
out.
Stash
him.
Awesome offense, obviously.
But yeah, Andrews is getting the goal line looks at least, so if you have to roll with anybody from this backfield, he's very touchdown dependent. But hey, there's 8 points if he gets 20 yards and a touch.
Kamar Aiken, love this ad.
Yeah.
Love this ad.
He, with all the injuries to the Baltimore pass catchers, Aiken has come alive for them lately. And when he sees,
and how about the efficiency?
When he sees volume, he produces. Every game that he's had seven or more targets in, he's had at least 70 yards.
There's
touch.
No one else there for them to throw to. I mean, they're throwing to Kyle Juszczyk out of the backfield right now.
Joe Flacco is running naked bootlegs to try and manufacture yards.
Flacco's like Fran Tarkenton now. He's rushing for touchdowns.
He is elite.
Can you look this up very quickly? Yeah, Kamar Aiken, though, I feel like he pulled in 8 of the 8 targets that he got here in
Actually,
week 5.
No, he did not. Believe it or not, he was like 4 of 9.
4 of 9?
It felt like more. Watching that game, it felt like a lot more. But
absolutely.
A week or two ago, I think it was like 7 of 7.
He was 5 of 7.
Got it. All right, so how about Ty Montgomery there in a package?
Montgomery's one. I was actually just watching a locker room interview with Davante Adams, and it sounds like his ankle, they're being very careful with it this time because last time they rushed him out early and he aggravated it. So Montgomery is a talented young pass catcher that has Aaron Rodgers throwing him in the football.
Yep.
Get him on your bench, deploy him in good matchups, and he could emerge. Because Randall Cobb is still dinged up. James Jones has a hamstring. You wouldn't have been able to tell by his touchdown, but get Montgomery on your bench.
I feel like they're trying to manufacture touches for Ty Montgomery as well, just trying to get him involved, maybe get his head into the game.
Well, and he's fast and he's strong. Like, he had a nasty stiff arm of a guy last week, and we saw on his touchdown too. I mean, granted, no Ram was around him, but he's quick, so... They know who can be a difference maker for him.
All right. Give me the lowdown on Stephon Diggs. I love his game, and I think he fits into that offense very well.
He does. He kind of came out in a tough matchup against the Broncos 2 weeks ago, and there's actually some great gifs and vines out there of him roasting Aqib Talib, who's a fantastic cornerback. Mike Wallace and Charles Johnson are both injured a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
And Stephon Diggs was like a offseason, preseason star as well. I think he's like a 5th-round draft pick, but they were like, this kid's the real deal.
He was so productive in college.
And they play the Chiefs this weekend.
Hello.
So if you're in a slightly deeper league or, you know, you're looking for somebody to slide in as a wide receiver 3 or a flex, give call Stephon Diggs. Right. See what he's up to.
Absolutely. Give him a call. Call him on the hotline.
He is absolutely going to be on Danger Zone on Wednesday. Check that out on NFL Network, NFL.com as well. Theo Riddick, we talked about the Chronicles of Riddick. The bottom line is he's got one of the best names in fantasy, so go pick him up. I like that. Let's get to Daily Daps.
Extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hub.
Give me daps, because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up daps about daps.
All right, our bi-weekly shout-outs to the great things in the world. Not just the world of fantasy, the entire world. Let's start with you, Michael Fabiano. Give me your daily dap.
Well, we just talked about him, Gary Barnage. You guys all know he's a good buddy of mine, and I got to congratulate him. Did you know over the last 3 weeks, no tight end, not Jimmy Graham, not Rob Gronkowski, not Travis Kelce, not Martellus Bennett. No one has more fantasy points than Gary, and it's funny because we were at WrestleMania last year with D'Angelo Williams, and D'Angelo and Gary together are like Laurel and Hardy. They are so funny. All they do is break each other's stones.
Laurel and Hardy.
That's an old school reference. I just dated myself.
Wow.
Use the Google kids to find out about Laurel and Hardy.
They are a comedy tag team. And what's funny about it is that D'Angelo always makes fun of Gary and says, man, all you could do is block. Yeah. That's all you could do is block, right?
Nope.
Gary is showing, I mean, he can catch the ball with his groin now, okay?
Dude, the Thighmaster catch. And how is this not being called the Thighmaster catch?
And it was
catch?
So funny when Dan Patrick on Sunday Night Football during the highlights said that Gary's catch was nuts. You know exactly what he was talking about right there.
Good one,
Mr.
Dan.
Mr. Patrick, yeah. So my dap goes out to Gary, continued success. And, again, hopefully we're working on getting him on NFL Fantasy Live. And I guarantee if we do, I will get him.
Does he know about the nickname
WWE?
Does he know about the nickname yet?
Barnyard Dog.
I don't know. I could text him.
Also, funny stat about Gary Barnage. I noticed this yesterday. In the last 2 weeks, Barnage has more yards and as many touchdowns as Graham does on the entire season.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Graham is – listen, I'm not talking – I said my piece about
dapping.
Him weeks
we're,
ago.
We're dapping. Stay positive. Stay
yeah,
positive.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. How about it, Gilhar?
I'm going to dap The Walking Dead. It came back this weekend.
Dude.
Hold on a second. No spoiler alert.
Listen, it's already Tuesday.
No, it doesn't matter.
All right. I wasn't going to spoil anything. I was just going to say it's had some up and down seasons. Some people have been like, it still had great episodes. This was a killer start to the season.
Okay.
It was kind of a cool episode. They did something a little different.
Killer start.
They're starting a lot of big storylines, and things have come through, and I thought it was a fantastic premiere, so I'm very excited for the season.
There you go. MG, hit me.
I want to give a dap to our friend and former co-worker Chris Law, who made it official, put it on Twitter. He and his wife Chara are going to be parents soon.
Oh, that's dope.
So big congratulations to the fact that
I can't wait to see
Chris
Law
in the age
with
of
a baby.
Well, yeah, we are all very curious about this. Yes. But in the age of social media, now when you have to put out these big announcements, they did an Inflategate parody.
Oh, it was good.
Where there's a pump. And
attached to her
midsection. So yeah,
it's good.
It's good. But congrats to Chris and Chara.
Chris Law used to be a producer on NFL Fantasy
Live. Still,
you
see him daily on the Rich Eisen show.
Yes, he's on the Rich Eisen show. So he's a friend of the program as well.
My
daily dap will go. And this is probably why I am starting to look like Jay Gruden. But my daily dap is going to pumpkin cereal with craisins.
Whoa!
Oh, it's so
that's
good.
Sounds
I mean,
good.
All the pumpkin. Related items right now is
fabulous. It's out of control. It's out of control.
It's out of control, but it's awesome. Giving it a dap. Try some pumpkin cereal. Throw a little craisins on there. It's like
oh, so the craisins is your addition.
Yes.
I thought it was like that was the brand. Pumpkin cereal with craisins.
No. But think about it. Pumpkin, cranberry.
Yeah,
it all goes.
Great. It's so fall.
Oh, God.
That's good because like I miss. That's the one thing I miss living out here is I do miss seasons. Like. Weather changing, leaves changing,
yeah,
all that good stuff.
Hey, it's only 100 degrees.
We got
right
seasons.
Now.
We got hot. We have hot. We have earthquake.
Earthquake season. Can't forget that one. Yeah. And then June gloom, which is the weirdest one in LA, is like in June is when it's supposed to rain all the time. And you're like, what?
Yeah, all the time by like one day. Mm-hmm. But no, pumpkin cereal with craisins. Try it right now. Go to your local grocery store. Buy some pumpkin-related cereal. Throw some craisins on there. Throw a little cold milk on there. It's fall in a bowl, man.
All right.
It's fall in a bowl, but don't have too much. Otherwise, you're going to start looking like me. So just keep that in mind.
All right.
All right.
Get out of here.
I think we're out of here. All right. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, and the fabulous one, Michael Fabiano. I'm James Cole. We're out of here.